The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace. Beloved of Christ Jesus, grace and peace. Amen. Mark Hansen, former bishop, former pastor here at Hope, tells the story of Marg Lagarde. Marg and her husband were farmers in northern Minnesota, and with great wisdom and insight, she once told a group of bishops, "You know, every Sunday, I am sent from worship with the words, 'Go in peace, serve the Lord.' To which I reply, 'Thanks be to God.' But the next Sunday, there is never anyone to meet me asking, 'So, Marg, how did it go this week? How did it go serving the Lord?'" Marg went on to say something like, "If someone would ask me, I would have to be honest that it didn't go as well as the Lord had hoped it would. That should become my confession. It should become our confession as we begin worship. Dear people of God, how did it go this week? How did it go? What went well? What didn't go so well?" Marg is on to something. Marg is on to something important and vital and hard, so very hard. Living the faith, as Matthew and Jesus tell it, means telling the truth before God. What went well and where did we fall? What hurt? What pained us? It's nice to gloss over the rough spots, keep the veneer shiny, avoid rocking the boat. And you know the t-shirt, right? The one that says, "Keep Minnesota passive-aggressive or not, whatever you think best." It's a real t-shirt. But God knows conflict happens, and so does misunderstanding and straight-up sin. We mess up. We do. God knows, and today's gospel is clear, flowchart clear, schematic clear, so clear that the model constitution of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, in chapter 15.01, actually cites these verses from Matthew when talking about conflict and discipline. If someone sins, when we sin, first talk to one another, and if that doesn't work, bring along another. And so on. Jesus says this to the church, the ecclesia in Greek, literally the gathered ones. But I believe these are words for each of us and for our housemates and our classmates, for each one of us. These are words for our world, really. Talk with one another directly, face to face, person to person. "It hurts me when you say this, when you do this. Or, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'd like to try again." On the one hand, after weeks of parables, This clarity is a welcome relief. Thank you, Jesus. Now we know what to do. I've been looking for that. And on the other hand, seeing this only as a code of conduct, do this, then do that, it may miss the point a bit, for I suspect it is relationships that Jesus is most concerned about, not our ability to follow rules. Maybe Jesus hopes for us to begin in these steps of guidance, do this, and then do this. But then when they take root, let them take root in relationship, in our willingness to address pain as directly as we can, and in confession, and then in this long, long process of forgiveness. A friend tells me of growing up in a family dealing with long-term mental health struggles and with addiction. As a child, she would wake up each morning not praying these problems would go unnoticed, as we might expect, but praying that this would be the day that somebody would say something, that somebody would do something. Unless someone, probably an adult, dared to address all this hurt, to name the sin, my friend and her family scraped along best they could, mired in pain, seemingly hidden and silent. She woke up each morning praying that someone would say something, someone would name the pain, name the sin. That, dear ones, is part of our calling. It is part of our calling, complicated on so many levels. Yes, I admit it. Oh my, we tread carefully and humbly, and yet it is part of our calling. Telling the truth before God, using our relationships as a means of hope and a place of healing. I appreciate Matthew's steps and Jesus' steps, simple and hard steps, for they remind me of an intervention. My behavior is getting in the way of life, and the people who love me are worried and they're scared. Maybe they're angry. They've mentioned it one-to-one, and that helped, and they've tried again, this time two of them, maybe three of them, and finally they've gathered up the courage, and together, with some planning, they intervene to explain why this behavior, whatever it is causing harm, and they ask me to get help. That's what they do. That's Matthew 18, and it's so practical, and it's right there, person to person, Matthew 18. It's not always clean. It's never easy. It doesn't always work the first time. But binding and loosing happens, and that means new life. In this long journey to the cross, this is the stuff of Good Friday, and this is the promise of Easter resurrection, new life. Telling the truth before God, where two or three are gathered, Jesus promises, I am there. I'm there. So this morning, we will baptize Layla Chargine, beloved child of Andy and Lena, right here up in the front. As in all baptisms, Andy and Lena will commit to helping Layla grow in the Christian faith and life. This week, we talked together about these baptismal promises, and I ask, which elements stand out to you? And they mentioned how much they value raising Layla in a community of faith and how they seek to teach her this work of justice. I was thinking about all that as I stood on Tuesday afternoon in the middle of Franklin Avenue listening to the stories of dreamers. The stories of dreamers, those whose lives hang in the balance of all this debate over immigration and DACA. With faith and determination and tears, they bravely spoke their truth, and they spoke their family's truth, and they did that with honesty and with clarity. That's what this baptismal life calls us to, Layla. That's what it's about, telling the truth. What is life-giving and what is desperately, desperately broken, unjust, and mired in systemic oppression. A man named Sumitaru Taniguchi died recently. Maybe you noticed this in the Star Tribune. He was 88 years old. He was a teenager delivering mail by bicycle in Nagasaki, Japan, a mile from the epicenter, when the U.S. forces dropped that second atomic bomb at the end of World War II. He says he noticed the flash of light in the sky, and he was thrown from his bike, and he rose up, and all of the skin on his back was dripping. While more than 200,000 people died, against all odds, Sumitaro Taniguchi lived. He suffered years of tremendous pain, many, many years, and decided that he must live on behalf of those who had died. So Sumitaro spent his life speaking the truth that he'd experienced. He spoke that truth to the United Nations and to the United States, advocating, telling the truth wherever and however he could. "I'm worried about what will happen to the world," he said once, "when there are no more atomic bomb survivors. I am worried about what will happen to the world when there are no more atomic bomb survivors." He told the truth. He named the sin and the devastation and the pain that it caused. This morning we celebrate God's work, our hands. We're collecting food and we're assembling school kits and we're writing letters and making phone calls to legislators. And we're telling the truth. We're telling the truth. Like Marge Lagarde, that northern Minnesota farmer, like the Dreamers and Sumitaro Taniguchi and Layla and all the baptized, we're inviting one another to tell the truth before God. How have we been hurt or pained by someone else's sin? And how have we caused another hurt or pain by our sin? Oh, I know it's radical. And I know it's countercultural. And it may make us uncomfortable and kind of shifty in our pews. And yet Jesus begins, "If another sins against you, you heard it. You heard it." So as we stand in a moment to sing the hymn of the day, I want you to look around. To look around and to see one another with the pain and the joy that we each hold. Dare make eye contact. Dare make eye contact. Let that be the first step in truth-telling. This, dear people of God, this is God's work and our hands telling the truth and listening to the truth. And making a space for the power of this enacted love to actually set us free. That's good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.
open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. We pray for the church universal. Reconcile our differences, forgive our divisions, and unite us at your table. Hear us, O God. Today we celebrate with joy the baptism of Leila Rapaz. Let her welcoming into your family remind us of our own baptism and renewed life in you. Hear us, O God. God, give energy and courage to students, faculty, and staff at the university community, Pease Academy, Lutheran Campus Ministry, and children, teachers, and parents in this back-to-school season. Hear us, O God. Lord, be with those affected by Hurricane Harvey, and give strength and courage to those fleeing and dealing with Hurricane Irma, just as we remember those in Mexico struggling after the earthquake. Encourage us, as your hands here on earth, to help and assist in any ways possible. Hear us, O God. We ask for your peace in the world, in conflict among nations. We especially ask for your peace to reign with issues regarding North Korea and all other areas in the world, especially in Myanmar and elsewhere, where your love is needed. Help leaders and citizens truly to listen to one another and to act for the good of all. Teach us by your example. Hear us, O God. We pray for all those in need. Bind up our hurts. Heal divisions in our families, friendships, and neighborhoods. Comfort those who need your special care. We pray for our homebound members, Eleanor Edstrom, Anita Smith, Ruth Meyer, and Asti Swain. We ask healing for Bertha, Sharon, Lawrence, Steve, Alexander, Armando, Madeline, Kathy, Janet, Hannah, Mavis, Margaret, and Chuck, as well as all those who seek physical and mental health and those who struggle with chemical dependency. Comfort those who grieve, especially the family and friends of Paul Casperson. For families and friends of Ken Anderson, husband of Margaret Anderson, former Hope organist, and Beata and John Rydeen at the death of Beata's cousin, Mark Schlegel. Remember those who serve in harm's way, including those in active military service, David Peterson, Elliot Bialetto, and Scott William Langeth. We continue to pray for Pastor Hammond and the good work of St. Peter's Lutheran in Jos, Nigeria, as well as the young women in Nigeria who still await release, including Lydia. Hear us as we offer our personal prayers aloud or in our hearts for those in need of your protection. Hear us, O God. We pray for this congregation. Make us signs of your love and forgiveness in this community and in the world. Remind us that we are all dreamers. Help us assist those in sanctuary, be a support for immigrant communities, and stand up to acts of hatred, white supremacy, violence, and racism. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen.
In this time, we transition to a baptismal service. I invite Layla and her parents and sponsors, family, to gather close. I invite children, anybody who wants to have a good view, right on that front side of the font. And I invite everybody to kind of remain standing and come close if you would like. Come close for this baptism.